Do you love to travel and save money? Or do you wish you could travel but money is holding you back? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Families Fly Free podcast, where I show you how to fly your family free forever using my simple fly free formula. I'm your host, Lynn Mettler. My family of four has mastered the art of flying free as simply as possible since 2015, and I want to show your family how to do it too.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Families Fly Free podcast. I'm Lynn Mettler, the creator of Families Fly Free, a membership where we teach you my simple system to always be able to fly your whole family for free around the US, the Caribbean, and Europe by collecting and using travel rewards. So this week, I have a fun episode for you. I had a friend recently ask me what I would recommend in terms of some great destinations for couples who want to elope. And I had a really fun time putting that list together. And so I thought I would just take that and turn that into a podcast episode, but shift it a little bit. Since we're talking more to families here, I thought we could just talk about some of these destinations as romantic getaways for couples. So if you have kids at home, if you are able, it's always an amazing thing to do to get away as a couple. If you have family members or friends that you can leave your kiddos with while you get to do a little getaway, that can be one of the best things for your marriage. And I know that when my kiddos were young, and my in-laws and my dad both took turns keeping the kids for us, and it can be stressful as a parent to leave your kids while you're gone. But my advice would be if you leave them with someone you trust, you'll find that actually you don't worry very much about it. And it's really a good experience for both your kids and your family members that are taking care of them. They get to know each other better and they get to be, you know, in a house that may have different rules or expectations. And so that can be a great learning experience for them. So we've always found that it was like a win-win for everybody involved in that. Even though I felt a little bit stressed about leaving the kids, it actually was a great thing for everyone. So that said, I hope you do have the ability to do that. And certainly we can help you with how to make it affordable and use travel rewards to cover the cost of your flights and maybe even your accommodations as well. I know we have lots of Families Fly Free members who have stayed at Hyatt All Inclusives, which tend to be a fairly low cost in points, around 20,000 points per night for two people to get their accommodations, their food, and their dining for free. And in fact, one of our members who has been to many different Hyatt All Inclusives led a webinar inside Families Fly Free last month all about how to get the most out of your Hyatt all-inclusive experience. And it was super interesting. And she shared her experience at some of the different resorts that they have and gave some of her recommendations. So if you're not a member of Families Fly Free, if you join, you can get access to that. As soon as you join, we always upload all of our replays from our live webinars, which we host every single month on different travel topics inside of our content platform. And it's also available as a podcast format as well, if you prefer to listen to things. But anyway, that can be a great thing to do as a couple. And keep in mind, if you're flying on Southwest and you have the Southwest Companion Pass and you're just flying two people, you're only going to have to pay points for one of you. And the other one is going to get added for free or just the cost of taxes and fees for them to fly. So you can go a lot more places when you only have to worry about paying points for one person with the other one added for free. So the sky's the limit as to where you could go in terms of a fun couple's getaway. So I put together a list of 10 based on this list that I sent to my friend. They're all within the US and the Caribbean. I didn't get into Europe on this one, but the first one I'll start with is Jekyll Island, Georgia. And if you haven't been to the coastal region of Georgia, it's actually very, very beautiful. It has that southern feel with the moss draped from the live oak trees and just really, really beautiful. And my husband and I got married on Jekyll Island just because we wanted to do something different and have a really small wedding and kind of a unique experience, and we thought this was a really beautiful area. We had visited it before. And so it's definitely a romantic destination. It's what's interesting about Jekyll Island is around the turn of the 20th century, so like late 1800s, early 1900s, this was a getaway spot for the very wealthy US families at the time, like the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and the Pulitzers. They actually built cottages on Jekyll Island, and they used it as a hunting getaway. So some of their cottages remain, and you can tour, I think, a couple of them while you're on the island. And there's also a beautiful old hotel there that dates to 1888 called the Jekyll Island Hotel. So that's where we had our reception and everyone stayed. So it's a very historic Victorian style hotel. And now, since we had our wedding there just a few years ago, it's been a minute. They now have other hotels there. So I think there's like a Holiday Inn and a Hampton Inn that you could, if you had points, you could book in points as well, probably for very, very cheap in terms of points. So it's a place that you may not have thought of, and I encourage you to take a look. Another one in that area is St. Simons Island. My dad grew up in Georgia and lived in the Atlanta area most of his life, and St. Simons was always one of his favorite places because he just felt like it was really peaceful and beautiful. And there's a really old church there that's just lovely. So this whole area is open for exploration if you've never been there. And it might be within driving distance, for some of you as well who live in the Midwest or the Southern US. Okay, so next let's head over to Colorado, which is always one of my favorite places, and Beaver Creek. And so my family used to have a condo in Beaver Creek since the 80s until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And so we've spent a lot of time out in Beaver Creek. And so if you're renewing vows or something like that, they have a lovely chapel there. You can also go to church there. They have Catholic Mass there. So if you're staying in that area, it's like an interfaith chapel. So different faiths take their turns having their services in there, but it's also rented out for weddings and such as well. And so Beaver Creek is just about 15 minutes from Vail, which is about 2 hours west of Denver in the Rocky Mountains. So it's kind of like that Vail resort experience where you're kind of in a recreation of an alpine village. And of course, it's this big ski area during the winter, but Beaver Creek is a much quieter version of Vail. It's smaller, it's quieter. You will see a lot of families there. It's family friendly. And there's hiking that you can do just right from the village of Beaver Creek. You can hike up to Beaver Lake, which we've done many times. And it's a beautiful hike through aspens and pine trees and just different scenery. And you can really just hang out in the village. There's great dining there, and just enjoy the ambiance, the stores, the beauty. You can take the gondolas up to the mountain, and there's Beano's Cabin is up there. You have to take some kind of transportation up there, like a horse-drawn, like a horseback riding. We've done that before, ridden horses up to Beano's Cabin, or during the winter, you can take snowmobiles. And so it's up there in this beautiful mountain setting. There's often deer outside the window, or even elk sometimes, and enjoy a gourmet meal in a very, very romantic setting. So if you love the mountains and you haven't been to Beaver Creek, I would definitely encourage that. Another one in Colorado that I really like, and I've shared before, is Telluride. And it is a little bit more difficult to get to. Beaver Creek, you could fly into Vail. There's a small airport there, but that would be expensive, I would think. So what we always do is fly into Denver on points, and then rent a car and then drive over to Beaver Creek. But Telluride is also doesn't really have us. The Southwest does fly into Montrose during certain seasons of the year. And Montrose is about 45 minutes from Telluride, but otherwise we have flown into Denver and then driven. It's about 6 hour drive over to Telluride, but it's a beautiful drive, and it's well worth it to get to Telluride. But Telluride is part of the San Juan Mountains, which are even more beautiful than the Rocky Mountains. They're more jagged, and it is set in a box canyon, which means it's almost 360 degrees surrounded by mountains. There's just one little area where you can go in and out of the canyon. And it's just incredibly stunning how it's set and it's surrounded by mountains everywhere. And so there's a little village there. You can stay down in the village. You can walk to everything. There's all kinds of dining there. Again, there's plentiful hiking that you can literally hike right from town up and do some of these different hikes. We've done four-wheeling there into some just beautiful backcountry scenery. It's just stunning in the fall when the aspens turn gold. That's usually in September. There's a free gondola. I think they have one of the only free gondolas in the country that you can take up to the mountain village, which is where the skiing is during the winter. And there's also mountain biking up there. And you can just take the gondola though for free. And that in itself is just a beautiful ride. And you get to really see the vista of the mountains in a unique way. And there's oftentimes they have a lot of festivals in Telluride, food festivals, music festivals. So you might be able to time your visit with something fun like that. We've been there twice during the Ride Festival, which is in July during the summer. I don't think they have that anymore, but we saw Pearl Jam there one time, which was amazing. And then the last time we went, we saw more just kind of smaller musicians that hadn't, weren't well known yet, but that were very talented, and saw them in some really neat old Western venues. So I can't recommend Telluride enough. Just surrounded in the summer by wildflowers, there's waterfalls that you can even see from town. You can hike up to really, really beautiful. All right, so let's move out of the mountains and into more tropical destinations if that's more of your thing. And so Grand Cayman is always tops on my list if you're looking for a great Caribbean destination that's easy to get to and that's safe and fairly affordable. So it's very cheap to get to Grand Cayman on Southwest points. Usually, you can usually fly out of Fort Lauderdale. I think they're now shifting more of their Caribbean operations to Orlando. So you'd always want to check those two places and see what's cheaper. There's just, how much more romantic can you get than beautiful, stunningly turquoise blue waters, sitting with the I always love a mango daiquiri. That's always my favorite flavor, by the beach and just relaxing. But you can also do things like you can just walk in and snorkel almost anywhere on Grand Cayman. And the snorkeling and the scuba diving there is outstanding. So if you like scuba diving or you like snorkeling, you definitely want to do that when you're in Grand Cayman. There's really great dining there, romantic dining with great views of the, the waterways and the ocean. Just pretty affordable, I think, in terms of other places that we've been, like Hawaii or Turks and Caicos or even Miami, can be very, very expensive. So definitely put Grand Cayman on your list if you're looking for a romantic tropical getaway. Also on here, I would put Puerto Rico. Now, I have not been to Puerto Rico, but many of our family's Fly Free members have gone there and they report back that they love it. So, we had a family's Fly Free member at the end of last year lead a webinar, which again is inside in our content portal, is available as a replay, just sharing her experience and all the things that they did and what you need to keep in mind before you get there and your car rental and how you get around and where to eat and what to do and all that. And then I just was chatting with another one of my members who just got back from Puerto Rico. Also gave it rave reviews, and they did a bioluminescent kayak tour. So they went with their family, but that sounds like a super romantic thing that you could do as well. So you have Old San Juan there, which is more of the historic area, which is a place that you can go and stroll and walk around and with shops and dining. And then of course you have the beautiful Caribbean blue water and the beaches for your relaxation and hanging out time. And what's great about Puerto Rico is that it's a U.S. territory, so you don't need a passport to get in. And it was very popular when things were more restricted during the pandemic because of that. You didn't have to do anything different, kind of like Hawaii, to go to, you know, to leave the country. You didn't have to leave the country and follow their additional restrictions. So it was made it an easier place if you wanted a beach getaway. And I remember talking to a Southwest flight attendant during that time as well. And he was saying that that was one of the most popular places they were seeing people go, particularly for destination weddings, because they were limited to, you know, not going out of the U.S. And so that had become kind of the hot spot. And they were seeing a ton of people go there. All right. Another good tropical destination, of course, would be anywhere in Hawaii. But for those of us on the Midwest or East Coast, that's a little bit further for us to get to. Now, if you're out west in California or Arizona or something, Hawaii is a little bit easier of a hop over, though it's still a 5-6 hour flight even from there. But I would recommend, in terms of romance, Kauai. So Kauai is sort of the quietest of all the islands, and you could argue it's one of the most beautiful. Now, it does have parts of it that are more desert-like, kind of on the hot side of the island, which would be more the south side. But the north side is one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. It's incredibly tropical, you know, almost like a rainforest. You have the Nepali coast, which is one of the wonders of the world. You can take boat tours out there to see that, or you can take helicopter tours. You just want to make sure you check the safety record of any helicopter tour that you're taking, because they have had some issues with that. But you can also just do it by boat. So that would be a beautiful thing to do. And there's the area out there called Hanalei, which is the north side of Kauai. That's where I would recommend staying and just spending your time there. It's just utterly charming. It's super, super green and beautiful. There's some great beaches out there. That's one of my boys' favorite beaches we've ever been to, was in the North Shore of Kauai that we just happened upon as we were beach hopping. There's great hiking. We just had a member come back from doing the hiking along the Nepali coast. And she said it was, of course, beautiful, jaw-dropping. So you can do some hiking out there. We drove out to about as far as you can. It's fairly remote and inaccessible, the Nepali coast. That's why you have to do it from these other ways. But we were able to kind of get to a lookout point where we can look out over it. And that's where you can hike down into it. We didn't opt to hike at that point, but just the looking out of it is, it's one of those things you can't believe what you're seeing. And pictures do not capture it at all. So I would vote for Kauai if you have Hawaii on your radar as a romantic destination. Okay, now I want to talk through three in California, and then one more. But we really love California because it is beautiful as well. And in a lot of ways, particularly the northern part, we feel like it looks like Ireland or something, that's something you would see in Northern Europe. And so the first place I'd recommend is Santa Barbara. That's either at the top of Southern California or the bottom of Northern California, however you decide. But that was been one of our favorite places of all time. That was one of the first places we went when we got away as a couple for the first time when our kids were little. And we were really surprised at how pretty and charming Santa Barbara is. The downtown village area, it has a European look to it. And it's just charming, is the word I'm going to use for a lot of these things, for lack of a better term to come up with. But what's interesting about Santa Barbara is you have the ocean and the mountains come like almost right up to the ocean. So it's like the landscape is a view of mountains to the ocean. And that's really, really pretty to see those two things juxtaposed. And I remember standing there the first time we went, and we walked out kind of on a dock or a jetty in the marina area and watched the sunset behind the mountains. And that was one of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen. It was just the colors of pink and peach and even blue. And I mean, were unbelievable just to watch that behind the mountains. So it has a lot of natural beauty. There is hiking around there too. There is also wine country in that area. And so you can drive out to some different wineries in the area. And that's more, you know, the rolling hills and the beautiful landscapes out that way. But downtown is really fun for couples. You can stay at a hotel in the area and just walk to everything. So we went back a couple summers ago and just did that as a couple and really had fun, you know, just dining at some different restaurants. And there's just always people out and about there. And so watching the life go on, interesting characters always. And there's all different options for dining. Lots of outdoor dining, of course, because it's California. Lots of great, they have a what's called the Funk Zone in their downtown, which is kind of more the hip and up and coming area. And so there's a lot of fun things to do there as well. There's a lot of tasting rooms that you can do. You can do like a trail of tasting rooms, and you know, there's antique stores and, you know, funky art galleries and unique stores that you can see and do. Another fun thing we did in Santa Barbara with our kids was to kayak off of the Channel Islands, which is in that area. And so you basically drive to the launch point, and it's about maybe a 45-minute boat ride out to these, again, really beautiful islands. And there's whales in this area during certain seasons too. So you often see whales. You can see it really just right off of the marina and the beach area there. But we also saw some on our way out to these islands. And then you can kayak through the sea caves on these islands. And that was a really unique, amazing thing that we did that we really enjoyed. You kind of just are out in the ocean kayaking from cave to cave and going in these caves and turning around and coming back. And that's actually a national park. Channel Islands are a national park. And I have a whole video about that experience and how to do that inside of Families Fly Free. We have a lot of great national parks content because we know a lot of people want to get out and see the beauty of our country. So that could be a fun couples activity. Go out and do that for a day around the Channel Islands. Okay, my next California spot on my list is Carmel, or Carmel by the Sea. And this is in Northern California. And this Carmel, famously, Clint Eastwood was the mayor, so you may have heard of it in that regard, but it is designed to be like an English village. And so in the 1920s, they had an architect come and design these fairy tale like cottages. And that's literally what you feel like you're in, is a fairy tale here. So it's completely distinctive from probably anything else you've seen in the US. And it does have that European feel, a very walkable, you know, village in the center, again, with stores and dining and art galleries. And one thing I forgot to mention in Santa Barbara is they have these paseos, which it's kind of like you would never know they're back there, but you turn off of State Street, which is the main street in Santa Barbara. And then it's like these endless corridors wind back behind the street with all of these stores. It's almost like a maze of stores that just seem to go forever behind the street that you, again, would never know they were there. So there's some kind of things like that in Carmel as well. I remember we rented bikes and then rode our bikes around the area and along the beach, which is really pretty. And it's kind of known, it's like San Francisco. It's in that area with it's kind of misty in the morning. And then the fog rises when the sun comes out and burns it off in the afternoon. So that kind of adds to the fairy tale like feel as well. But we think that this is one of the most beautiful areas of the California coast. And another fun thing we enjoyed there was going to Point Lobos State Natural Reserve, which was absolutely stunning with this beautiful blue water. And there was just a ton of seals that you could view from a distance, you know, sunning on the beach. And just all these different viewpoints and, you know, of the ocean and the cliffs. And I always encourage people when you're going to an area to look for the state parks, because very often the state parks have the same type of landscapes that you would see in a national park, but they don't have all the crowds. And so this was a great example of a California state park. That was, I would 100% recommend that you go check that out when you're in the area. And so that's a great, and Utah is a great example of that too. There's so many great state parks out there that, you know, the national parks are just full to the brim, particularly right now. So if you can dot out into some of these state parks that are lesser known, you're going to see amazing landscapes and scenery still, but you're going to do it without wall-to-wall crowds. Okay. Of course, I can't not recommend California wine country as a romantic couple's getaway. So I know Lisa on our team has been out there with her husband several times, I think, as a couple's getaway. My husband and I did this as well several years ago. And this, you know, Napa and Sonoma County, so there's kind of the two areas out there, the Napa Valley and Sonoma County, both of which are equally great. They have, again, this distinctive rolling hills look. You don't even feel like you're in the US anymore. It does, again, have that feel of Ireland. Part of it is on the coast, which I think a lot of people don't realize, the Sonoma County part. And that is worth going out and having a look at as well. Again, you feel like you're on the cliffs of Ireland looking out over the ocean. There is the Russian River out there. You can do some kayaking. I've done that before. You even get some of the redwood trees out there, which are, of course, absolutely unbelievable, the size of those. So you can do all of that within that area. And I used to do some public relations work for a company called Getaway Adventures, and I highly recommend them. They do bike tours to the wineries out there. They also do kayak tours. So if you wanted to do kayaking and you weren't sure, you know, how to get kayaks and where to go exactly, they take care of all that for you. And you can, on their bike tours, you can bike from winery to winery. And they do different ones on each tour, just depending on which ones are open and everything. And we, so I went out and did that with them. And we even did like, went to a place where they make the wine barrels. And so you could learn how they did that and see the process of it. And California wines are some of my favorite wines, especially Pinot Noir from California. So you can enjoy some really fantastic wines at some of these different wineries they have out there. They also have great dining. So the French Laundry's out there, which is one of the most famous restaurants in the world, if you could score a reservation there. We also ate at the Culinary Institute of America, which is where up-and-coming chefs are learning the trade. And so they have a test kitchen where you can go in and eat from, you know, future amazing chefs. So that could be a fun thing to do. We also did a hot air balloon ride over the vineyards, which was to die for. I never thought I would ever get up in a hot air balloon, but we decided to do it out there. And so we were lucky in that we got a super clear day. So again, you're looking at all these rolling hills, all the vineyards, and we could see as far as San Francisco, which was amazing, because it was so clear on the day that we went up. So I'd really recommend that too. It doesn't get much more romantic than being in a hot air balloon over the rolling vineyards and rolling hills of Napa Valley. All right, let's conclude with one more. And this is Charleston, South Carolina. We lived in Charleston for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years when our kids were born and were young. And you really cannot beat this area for its historic beauty. You know, it's probably the most well-preserved historic city in the US, where you can actually see things from, you know, the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s. which is rare within the US to see anything like that. So it's sort of our Europe of the US. It's certainly a growing destination. There's a lot, it's growing in terms of businesses, you know, moving their headquarters there. It's known as the Holy City for its many churches and church steeples that you will see in the historic downtown. Enjoying the historic downtown is definitely something you want to do. You can just walk around. Everything is super charming. You've got colorful homes, beautiful gardens behind these gates. Make sure you're looking through the gates to see these beautiful gardens that people have. Of course, you have the hanging moss and these old cemeteries and beautiful flowers, you know, at all times of year. And also in that area is a variety of different beaches. So if you're looking for a beach vacation, we lived kind of near Isle of Palms. There's Sullivan's Island. There's Folly Beach. There's Kiawah, which is a little bit further away, but a very high-end area that you can go to. Myrtle Beach is a whole different experience, but is a couple hours north. Then you've got Hilton Head, which is a more quieter, more gated, I would say, beach experience about 2 hours south. So there's just a lot to do in that area, and you could just rent a car and kind of see all of it. So those are my recommendations. If you want a romantic escape for the two of you, there's of course so many more than that that you could go and enjoy in the US, but hopefully that gets you started. So thanks for listening, and I hope everyone has a great rest of your week.
If you're ready to fly your family free forever, I invite you to join my Families Fly Free membership. You'll learn how to stop paying for airfare throughout the U.S., Caribbean, and Europe so you can make those priceless travel memories before your kids or even grandkids leave home for good. And you'll learn it using my simple, proven formula that's helped hundreds of families. You can get more information at familiesflyfree.com.